Welcome to The Clever Cookster, your window into the kitchens of the world's best cooks. I'm your host, Kara Rota. Our guest today is Jennifer Hill Booker, author of the cookbook Dinner Deja Vu, Southern Tonight, French Tomorrow. Welcome, Jennifer.
Thank you for having me.
I love the concept of this book. You go shopping once and you get two delicious meals, one Southern and one French. When did you start thinking about those two cuisines in connection with each other, and how did this idea for the book come to be?
Well, I grew up partially in the Mississippi Delta, so definitely Southern and lots of fresh produce and fresh eggs. And so that is something that I'm very familiar with. And after college, I went to culinary school and had the opportunity to go to the Le Cordon Bleu in Paris, France, and found out that a lot of their cuisine was very similar to what I grew up eating, meaning they had lots of produce, they did a lot of canning and preserving, they ate a lot of pork. And so I found that the two cuisines are really just different sides of the same culinary coin. So I was able to incorporate that French teaching into my Southern teaching. And then we get my cuisine. Now, as far as the concept for my newest cookbook, Dinner Deja Vu, Southern Tonight, French Tomorrow, that's really how I cook for my real life, or, you know, my family. And because I'm working and I have daughters, and so they're busy, I'm busy. But as from an early age, they demanded what they call a hot meal for dinner. They don't want, like, takeout or whatever. So I do my best to shop and create as many meals as possible from the same set of ingredients I got at the market. And with me doing Southern and French, a lot of the dishes turned out to be Southern one night, French the other, or French one night and Southern the other. And then with talking to different people and fans of my first cookbook, I found that a lot of people were in the same predicament, meaning they didn't want to shop forever, they didn't want multiple trips to the market, they didn't know what to do with leftovers, and so Dinner Deja Vu was born.
Give us a few examples of some of the dishes that are paired up in the book, or some of the things that you can make in both Southern cuisine and French cuisine with the same set of ingredients.
Sure. Two of the simplest and two of my favorite are a rosemary and lemon Provençal style roasted chicken. So it's chicken, I stuff it with fresh rosemary and sliced lemon, lots of salt and pepper, roast it off, skin's nice and crisp. We have that for dinner one night with, you know, whatever size. And then I take what's left over on the carcass and turn it into a Southern style chicken pot pie. So I have the filling, you know, I can make it with carrots and onion and potatoes and celery, which I probably have used with the chicken, you know, to let it rest on when it roasts. So I have all the ingredients at home, and it's super easy and it's super delicious. And another that's even simpler, is roasted sweet potatoes or baked sweet potatoes and then turn them into sweet potato crepes. So like I said, I'm from the Mississippi Delta. It's known for sweet, tender sweet potatoes. So we always have some here. I'll roast them off and make some extra. And then for dinner the next day or two, I make the crepes for the dessert. And I just take the mashed up roasted sweet potato and mix it in with the crepe batter.
This time of year, there's all kinds of great produce in the farmer's market or just at the local supermarket to experiment with. What are some of your favorite preparations for summer produce? And what are some of the unusual things you like to do when you're getting sick of all that zucchini or all that corn?
Well, I'm currently in Georgia. And so Georgia grows Vidalia onions, and they're only grown in Vidalia, Georgia. So I took that and I paired it with fresh asparagus, which is in season in March and April, and turned it into an asparagus and Vidalia onion quiche, which is absolutely delicious, super easily accessible ingredients, cream, egg, cheese, asparagus, Vidalia onions. So that's something we love. Of course, strawberry season is now. So fresh lemon and strawberry preserves, strawberry shortcake, that's huge here. In the summer, we get closer to June. I like a corn salad or corn soup, or the Southern girl in me loves fried corn in a cast iron skillet. So So I can't go wrong with that. And as far as like squash and zucchini, I'm honestly toss it with some oil, salt, pepper, some herbs, and you can either roast it or throw it on the grill and then turn it into a cold, roasted vegetable salad, or chop it up and add it as a spread for a sandwich. I mean, you go on and on. So the only time I get tired of fresh produce is probably by December, January, which I'm like, not another pumpkin or not another head of, kale or whatever. But, short lived, because we have such a great long growing season here.
One of the things that was really interesting to me to think about while I was reading this book is how the same ingredients used in both cuisines, like offal or pig feet, are really differently conceptualized and talked about. I think that there's a real conversation going on around appropriation in food and how a food or a dish or an ingredient used in different ways by different people is thought about really differently, thought of often as high-end in some contexts and not in others. I'm wondering if there were any other things that you noticed when sort of thinking through these two cuisines together, or thoughts that you had on that in the work that you've done.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because it's so true. Because when people think French cuisine, automatically they think, ooh la la, high end, super, super great. And you can give them like a pig foot or chicken liver or, a rabbit, and they accept it as high end. And you do the same thing here in the States, especially in the South, and they turn their noses up. So that right there is like, what can I do to make people see it's really the same ingredient done differently, but neither is better or worse than the other. So I love pig feet. And when I tell people that, they're like, oh my God, that's so disgusting. Or they're like, oh my God, I love that. I grew up eating it. So for me, a little tongue in cheek in the cookbook is having it presented in such a beautiful way, it's so aesthetically pleasing, but it's still a pig's foot. And let people realize that a Southern cuisine can be beautiful and high end, and we can give it our own little, Southern ooh-la-la twist to it. And it's the same thing with chicken liver. If you say chicken liver pate, people's eyes light up. If you say fried chicken, livers, and hot sauce, not so much. So I'm hoping, for my charge for the cause is to let people see that an ingredient is valued no matter how you prepare it by different peoples, because it's the food that they eat, and that's what makes it important to them.
Yep, absolutely. This time of year, I feel like, people are coming out of hibernation, ready to start entertaining. I'm ready to start throwing some dinner parties. And I always get really ambitious when I'm planning a dinner party. And then the day's there and I have to make this meal for 6 or 8 people. And I often feel like I'm just way in over my head. What are some of the things you think about when entertaining? What are dishes that you love to make that impress everyone but aren't stressful, things that you can make ahead, or any other tips and tricks to just set a beautiful dinner that people enjoy without stressing yourself out?
Oh, I'm in exactly the same boat that you are. And as a chef, you get as ambitious as anyone looking on, Pinterest or a blog, your blog, and seeing that beautiful food. So I have some go-tos that are easy but elegant and will wow the crowd. And one of them is a poisson au papillette, or a package or parcel with fish. And the cool thing is you can take whatever seasonal vegetables, tomatoes, onions, bell pepper, garlic, and then your favorite fish, salmon, catfish, red snapper, put that in with your vegetables, some fresh parsley and thyme, olive oil, and white wine, and you fold the parchment paper up, and you bake it in the ovens for like 20 minutes. You set it down in front of your guests. You cut the parchment paper. You open it and all this beautiful steam comes out and this beautiful aroma, and it's just a wow factor. And for you, it's super easy, and it's 20 minutes in the oven, and you can like leave work at 5, swing by the store, get everything you need, and serve it by 7, no problem. So that's one of my go-tos. Plus, I'm a strong proponent of get a really expensive item, like one thing that adds the wow. And for me, I love rice, but I'll add saffron. And just like a generous teaspoon of saffron to your rice, it changes the color, it changes the aroma, it's saffron, so that's like, ooh, wow. And I'll serve that with something as common as field peas. So I kind of mix and match it up so that you have home cooking that's comfortable and you recognize, and then you have something that's a little exotic like saffron, and then you have a palpiette of fish that's the big wow factor.
I love that. It's kind of like putting together an outfit. Like you pick your statement accessory, which is the saffron, and use it to dress up the rice.
That is a perfect way to put it, and you're exactly right. And then people forget kind of the workhorse of the kitchen, like onions. If you caramelize an onion, let it go low and slow, it is so sweet and so delicious that people eat it up, and you're like, oh my gosh, it was 5 pounds of onions for $3. You know, I can't beat this deal. So I agree with you. It's like an outfit. You create the highlight and then you build around it.
I love, too, the drinks and desserts in this book. They're so fun, and they really take advantage of a lot of seasonal flavors and produce. Talk about a few of the French and also Southern desserts and drinks in the book and some of your favorites for the summertime.
Oh, sure. I'm not a big dessert lover. I'm the person that would prefer another piece of cheese, you know, or a second helping of meat. Yep. But I appreciate people that do love dessert, and they're very serious about their desserts. So I like to do things, like you said, the seasonal. So when cherries are in season, at least for us down here in Georgia, it's so fast that we have access to these cherries. So I like to do brandied cherries, so that you can put them in the fridge and have them for later in the summer. And so it's a mixture of cherries and brandy, and you cook it down, and that goes on anything from pound cake, angel food cake, ice cream, sweet potato crepes. So that one's always a slam dunk. Profiteroles, which are cream puffs. And so it's just a quick dough, a pâte à choux made with egg yolks and flour and butter, simple, affordable ingredients. You bake them off, and then you fill them with sweetened whipped cream. And again, you can drizzle them with chocolate or the brandy cherries or fresh strawberries or whatever you like. And that is, again, just quick, and it makes a huge statement. And, of course, there's things like molasses cookies or a bourbon deep dish pecan pie, which who can say no to that? So these are just desserts that you can make ahead, like you mentioned before, and then you just dress them up right before you present. And I like to start with a cocktail, have wine with dinner, and then maybe even end with a cocktail, depending on, you know, the night. But I created one that was fun. And actually, because I was out of the alcohol, I went looking for it to make a cocktail. And I had little bits and pieces of bourbon, a little bit of whiskey, a little bit of triple sec. And I was like, oh, my goodness, I have a lot of people that I have to serve cocktails to. So I came up with that sweet tea cocktail, which, you know, is brewed tea. Then you add your whiskey and your bourbon, your triple sec, and you serve it over crushed ice with some mint, and it's refreshing, and you can drink that all summer. I say be careful. That's my warning label, because it drinks like sweet tea. But when you stand up, it feels like bourbon and whiskey. So you do have to be careful. And, of course, something simple like French 75, which is just white wine, a little champagne to open it up. And it's light and very elegant and easy to drink.
Jennifer, thank you so much for talking with us today. These are great ideas for entertaining all summer, and I'm really excited to try some of them out.
Thank you so much for having me. I look forward to seeing what you have fresh and new all summer long. And maybe I'll take a few of your ideas and pass them along.
Well, thanks so much. Check out the cookbook, Dinner Deja Vu, Southern Tonight, French Tomorrow. And tune in next time on The Clever Cookster for more tips and tricks from the kitchens of the world's best cooks.